You are going to listen to the manager of a travel agency talking to an apprentice about ecotourism. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below. Then, you will hear the recording twice. While listening, match the beginnings of the sentences 1 to 7 with the sentence endings A to J. There are two extra sentence endings that you should not use. Write your answers in the spaces provided. The first one, 0, has been done for you. After the second listening, you will have 45 seconds to check your answers.
Hi, Hannah. Since you're a new apprentice at our travel agency, I thought we ought to discuss ecotourism, since more and more clients want to go on ethical tours.
Okay, Mr. Thompson. I'm glad ecotourism's becoming more popular. It's taken a while, though. It's been around since the 1970s?
That's right. But it wasn't until the 80s that it became more prevalent. Back then, American environmentalist Jay Westerfeld first thought of the word greenwash, which, of course, our tour operators don't do. By that, I mean using marketing to give a false impression their company's environmentally friendly.
I remember studying Westerfeld at school, actually. He drew attention to hotels that were encouraging guests to reuse their towels to help save the environment. But, in actual fact, the hotels weren't doing anything to promote recycling, but had found a dishonest way to try and cut their laundry expense.
That's right. These days, something you'll find is that many holidaymakers mistake sustainable ideas with ecotourism. For instance, they often believe that traveling to destinations in vehicles that use fewer fossil fuels is ecotourism. Though coach travel uses 6 times less energy than an aeroplane, ecotourism is much more than reducing the emissions to get to a particular destination.
I see. I'd like to know more about the ethical travel companies we work with. Could you tell me about a few?
Sure. I'll start with Intrepid Travel. They've invested more than £2.5 million in grassroots projects globally and donated 100% of their profits from a whole season of trips to Nepal to help rebuild after its 2015 earthquake. And they've taken the lead, along with a few other companies, to make carbon-neutral expeditions available. And they only use local guides, with a target of doubling the number of female tour leaders.
That's interesting. How about G-Adventures? I think they're a Canadian company.
Yes, and they work with social enterprises and NGOs across the globe. It uses small, locally owned companies and backs these communities so residents can set up rural tourism projects. And the company evaluates what percentage of expenditure stays in the local economy. So, for example, it supports Women on Wheels, a company in India where all the chauffeurs are female.
What they're doing sounds great. I've also heard about Much Better Adventures, but not in any detail.
Well, they focus on short trips in Europe and have a strong, responsible travel ethic. That's to say, this company makes sure that at least 80% of the cost of a trip goes to the conservation projects where they offer tours. It also works for charities that are addressing climate change. For example, a popular tour is their 3-day rafting, kayaking, and hiking tour in Albania with local activists to help save the Vjosa, one of Europe's last wild, free-flowing rivers.
And I've already been on an adventure alternative tour.
So, you've had first-hand experience of what this trekking and climbing company is trying to do.
Yes, They're based in Northern Ireland, and they've been building a worldwide network of responsible trekking and climbing companies with trips to some of the world's most iconic mountains. Their business model is against outsourcing. Instead, they help support local operators and run initiatives that improve the economic well-being of people who live in very isolated villages in different parts of the world.
Good! And what do you know about Global Himalayan Expedition?
Just what's on their website. I think the purpose behind this company's expeditions is to send groups of travelers to remote off-grid mountain villages. And they also take with them the technology and expertise to build working solar microgrids. Without this kind of support, these villages would probably never have electricity.
That's right. So far, they've visited more than 50 villages where people can now study after dark, run homestays, and get rid of kerosene lamps.
How impressive. Anyway, thanks for your help.
Anytime. Hi, Hannah. Since you're a new apprentice at our travel agency, I thought we ought to discuss ecotourism, since more and more clients want to go on ethical tours.
Okay, Mr. Thompson. I'm glad ecotourism's becoming more popular. It's taken a while, though. It's been around since the 1970s?
That's right. But it wasn't until the 80s that it became more prevalent. Back then, American environmentalist Jay Westerfeld first thought of the word greenwash, which, of course, our tour operators don't do. By that, I mean using marketing to give a false impression their company's environmentally friendly.
I remember studying Westerfeld at school, actually. He drew attention to hotels that were encouraging guests to reuse their towels to help save the environment. But, in actual fact, the hotels weren't doing anything to promote recycling, but had found a dishonest way to try and cut their laundry expense.
That's right. These days, something you'll find is that many holidaymakers mistake sustainable ideas with ecotourism. For instance, they often believe that traveling to destinations in vehicles that use fewer fossil fuels is ecotourism. Though coach travel uses 6 times less energy than an aeroplane, ecotourism is much more than reducing the emissions to get to a particular destination.
I see. I'd like to know more about the ethical travel companies we work with. Could you tell me about a few?
Sure. I'll start with Intrepid Travel. They've invested more than £2.5 million in grassroots projects globally and donated 100% of their profits from a whole season of trips to Nepal to help rebuild after its 2015 earthquake. And they've taken the lead, along with a few other companies, to make carbon-neutral expeditions available. And they only use local guides, with a target of doubling the number of female tour leaders.
That's interesting. How about G-Adventures? I think they're a Canadian company.
Yes, and they work with social enterprises and NGOs across the globe. It uses small, locally owned companies and backs these communities so residents can set up rural tourism projects. And the company evaluates what percentage of expenditure stays in the local economy. So, for example, it supports Women on Wheels, a company in India where all the chauffeurs are female.
What they're doing sounds great. I've also heard about Much Better Adventures, but not in any detail.
Well, they focus on short trips in Europe and have a strong, responsible travel ethic. That's to say, this company makes sure that at least 80% of the cost of a trip goes to the conservation projects where they offer tours. It also works for charities that are addressing climate change. For example, a popular tour is their 3-day rafting, kayaking, and hiking tour in Albania with local activists to help save the Vjosa, one of Europe's last wild, free-flowing rivers.
And I've already been on an adventure alternative tour.
So, you've had first-hand experience of what this trekking and climbing company is trying to do?
Yes, they're based in Northern Ireland, and they've been building a worldwide network of responsible trekking and climbing companies with trips to some of the world's most iconic mountains. Their business model is against outsourcing. Instead, they help support local operators and run initiatives that improve the economic well-being of people who live in very isolated villages in different parts of the world.
Good. And what do you know about Global Himalayan Expedition?
Just what's on their website. I think the purpose behind this company's expeditions is to send groups of travelers to remote off-grid mountain villages, and they also take with them the technology and expertise to build working solar microgrids. Without this kind of support, these villages would probably never have electricity.
That's right. So far, they've visited more than 50 villages where people can now study after dark, run homestays, and get rid of kerosene lamps.
How impressive. Anyway, thanks for your help.
Anytime.